We are recording.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jim Zimmerman. I'm the point of contact on this RFP. So I will kick this meeting off and then pass it over to Lala Howard for her work to go over the scope of work. And then we will take questions after that. So I'll start things off just by going over a few things within the RFP itself. Just to make sure everyone knows the expectations and timelines and so forth. And then we'll jump into the scope. So I'm going to attempt to share this. All right, so I believe everyone will have to see the RFP up on the screen. And again, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. So in section 1.5, we have the calendar of events. This will give you the timeline as it stands now. So we anticipate following these dates. If anything changes, that will be done through a formal addendum to change this. So as of now, these are the dates. Questions are due to on March 17th. To the email address that's listed in the RFP. We would answer those questions no later than March 23rd, with then final RFP responses due back to us by April the 6th at 2 o'clock. We anticipate right now handling presentations, communications, if we've got that option, it would be to probably a short list of the targets. Handle those one of those 2 weeks that you see us today. And then with the final anticipation, final selection by June the 5th. Again, that's the dates as of now. I want to point out one thing in that next section, the performance period. We've listed there a possible term date for initial term and renewals. Just please note that in your proposal, you can, it is okay if you propose a different structure. We are open to reviewing that. So we will leave everything on the table if it benefits both parties. So. All right, section 2.3 and 2.4 really go over the submission requirements. So again, the due date and time of your submission, it is electronic to the email address listed there. That's the same email address you would use if you have questions throughout this process. Those all come to my office and we will handle addressing these emails. Okay. We don't accept late submittals. So if you get your email in at 2:01 on that day, it's late. We do not accept it. We do not review it. And we don't even look at the documents. So make sure your files are submitted on time. Okay. The format we ask that they be put into is listed right there in that section. Two PDF documents, one title proposal, the other in the forms. And then the contents of those two files are down there below in section 2.4. If there's any documentation that you need to submit that's in a different file format, that's fine. Just make sure you submit those separately. All in the same email. Okay. There are some notes at the bottom of that section as well regarding electronic signatures, which we do accept. And then there's a note also about notarization of the non-collusion affidavit, which is required. We understand that sometimes it's a challenge with the events of today, but just note that if you were selected and awarded, you would have to have that document notarized prior to doing so. Cool. All right, again, directions here, email address for questions after the day, it's listed there. All correspondence, all questions again been issued. Any other documents related to this RFP would be posted on that website in section 3.5. Well, I recommend you check that often to make sure that you have not missed any correspondence. Section three is the scope. I'm going to skip over that for just a minute and discuss section four, which is your proposal response. This would be the content of your proposal response, and that is what you're going to be evaluated based off of. The first section is just some company information. So you just need to provide that. Section 4.2 is your technical proposal. That really is the meat of your proposal. So make sure you respond to all of those requirements as described there. We also have an administration plan that is due. Different concept. I'm not going to read through all these. I apologize. I don't want to read through all these. I'm going to skip here for just a minute. Accessibility. I want to note that references a template, a VPAT template. I posted that yesterday to the USBD site because I forgot to do so when I first put this out there. So if you're looking for it, it's there now. Web subcontracting plan. I want to discuss this because there's always some confusion over this, especially when we have these types of projects and contracts, because it can be difficult depending on situations and products being utilized and so forth. So we do have a goal of 11% for other services on this RFP. We are mandated by the state to require a HUD subcontracting plan. It's above the threshold that this is clearly above. So it is required. The most important thing I can say is if you have questions on how to complete this, what you need to do, what those requirements are, reach out to my office as soon as you can to start working through those. And I don't want you to wait to the last minute and find out you didn't do some things that you had to do, and that your plan will be accepted and you can't consider your proposal. So make sure that you take care of this on time. I mentioned that I know these types of projects are hard to obtain participation depending on your situation. So these are goals. We want you to make every effort to meet those goals. They're not requirements, but again, they are goals. Whether you have some services that can be subcontracted out to assist in the process, whether it be something else you have to purchase in order to make this this solution work, whatever it may be, we ask that you go through that effort to try to obtain some participation. Understanding that yes, I know that it is a challenge on these types of projects. So again, reach out if you have questions. Myself and Keith Williams, our HUD coordinator, we work right through those with you as quickly as we can to make sure that you understand it and get this done successfully. Okay. All right. I believe that's all I wanted to hit as far as highlights on the RFP itself and the requirements within it. If there's any questions on that, I'll take those right now. And understand, of course, after today, you can still submit questions there.
Jeff, I'll just remind people that we muted everyone on entry. So if you have a question and would like to speak, please don't forget to unmute yourself.
Hi, Jeff. Quick question. Saji Fels from Proficient. On section 4.5 on the high level of scope response, do you want to include a travel estimate or assume a virtual project? So on the size, scope, and time for the implementation approach, do you want us to assume a travel budget or exclude that and make this a virtual?
Well, I'm going to let you take that.
I would assume at this point we would like for you to include a travel budget, and if we decide ultimately that it is going to be a virtual project, we can work through that in the contracting phase.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anything else before we move on to the scope of work?
Good morning. This is Annabelle. I have a question on section 3.5, page 10, the first bullet point.
Okay.
My question is, can it be assumed that the source used to generate the reports under section 3.3 will be available so that the data can be used directly? Or should we, or is it assumed that the solution will still need to use the reports that are generated? A little further, section 3.3 reports.
Oh, sorry.
No, my bad. So in section 3.3, it speaks about these custom reports that are currently available. Will the, once the solution gets implemented, will these still be the source for the solution, or will the data source that does these reports be the new source? If that makes any sense.
I'll answer that. So I think the answer is the latter. So yeah. I would expect these reports to all be eliminated or significantly reduced in their usage. Some of them may still provide value, but they would not be the source of data. The source will come from the actual legacy ERP system that we run.
Understood. Thank you. So Mark, follow up to that question. In the document, it had mentioned a enterprise data warehouse. Do you see that still being in use, or is that going to go away?
Now that will still be in use. That provides value to people for all sorts of other reporting, other data subject areas. Mm-hmm. There certainly will be a little bit of overlap, and we may leverage the data in that to assist with this project, or we may use it as a conduit, but it's replacing that is not in scope.
Got it. So it could be a potential data source in addition to the ledger data.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Lalo, let's go ahead and have you jump into the scope and give an overview or whatever else you'd like to talk about, and then we can field more questions.
Okay, if you'll stop sharing, I will be able to share. Maybe. Okay, Mark, it's up to you.
Okay, so Lala is presenting and I'm going to be speaking and answering questions. So thank you for participating today. Excited to see the large participant list. And we just have a very brief PowerPoint, not going to go through the RFP in detail, but just try to touch on some highlights here. Feel like we've said giving you a lot of information in the RFP and hopefully background, but here to answer questions that we might have missed. So my name is Mark Schultz. I'm the deputy CIO here at the A&M system. Lala Howard is part of my team. Julie Burnham is going to be involved in this, but a reminder that, all these questions and your point of contact will be Jeff in the procurement office. Behind the scenes, we'll be working with him to answer questions, teaming up with our controllers, our CFOs, our system budget office, budgets and accounting to evaluate our options and chart our path forward. So just thought I'd introduce us briefly. And some of them are on the call as well. Teresa Edwards, Tracy Crowley. Okay, so really what we're looking for is, and this is disclosed in the RFP, that we are moving forward with a modernization project for our financial software. We have chosen the path to modernize what we have in place. But in particular, there's areas of weakness or areas that can be improved that we want to solve with this solution. So overall, this is not a replacement to our ERP. This is to augment and supplement the reporting for the A&M system, leveraging the data that it provides, and bringing more automation and efficiency to the overall process. So overall, we want to automate and streamline our financial close process, that, and along with that, the consolidation. The Texas A&M system is 22 entities, and we go through a consolidation process to produce a financial report. There are a series of reports. I believe actually in the RFP, they're referenced. There is a public link to the reports that are produced today that might be helpful for you to look at. I think that's in the RFP as well. So our first phase will be to acquire a platform to perform this work. And that's going to be, you know, where we're going to be spending our time looking. And then actually having the services and the implementation of it as well is going to be part of phase one. We see phase two is the re-implementation of our financial forecasting module. And again, that's discussed in depth in the RFP. We want to finish one before we start two. And again, there's in-depth background and such on that as well. The outcomes of this will be to publish, you know, required reports that are required by the state of Texas, Government Accounting Standards Board, A&M System, other reports from our stakeholders. We do see in time that depending on the strength of the platform, we may move significant other reporting needs into the platform. Next slide, Lala. So I'm not going to go through these in detail. Again, these are in the RFP, but these are the list of the requirements that we're looking for in the platform and coming out of the services that will go with it. So certainly can answer questions about those. Did not want to go through those in detail today. The financial forecasting requirement. So we do have our current system, and that will provide the basis of our requirements going forward. It has been implemented for about 5 or 6 years, and we'd like to re-implement, strengthen it, improve the functionality. One of the things that's hampered the effectiveness of it is the data source for it is complex, and by going through the AFR process first, we hope to be able to provide the forecasting module clean and easy data to sort of drive the forecasting process. So that's you know, part of our longer term goals with this, that the AFR streamlining and consolidation efficiencies will drive a better forecasting. And let's see, one calendar events. I think that, again, that's in the RFP. We can leave that up there. So we, again, you'll coordinate with Jeff, and he's talked about all of that. So we do talk about, we will come up with a short list. We do want to have demonstrations. We're looking at those late in April, early May. Exact dates to be determined, but we do want you in your proposal to present, you know, a plan for demonstration. And we hope by around the 1st of June we'll be ready to make a response. As far as overall implementation timelines, when will we expect to go live? Those are to be determined. We are not expecting at this point to go live for this fiscal year. Our fiscal year ends in August, at the end of August. New one starts September 1st. The reports produced for this fiscal year are likely going to be done, will be done by our old system. If we can make some progress on some small parallel work, we will do that, but we're not targeting necessarily a full implementation for this fiscal year. And with that, really ready to open it up for questions, and happy to answer them as best as we can.
Hi, this is Annabelle. I have a question on section 364.
Lala, do you have that we can pull that up? I didn't think about doing that.
Jeff, do you want to make your presenter again?
A question. Oh, please.
But yeah, go ahead and ask the question and we'll see if we can get that pulled up if it helps.
Sure. The section speaks that the solution should allow for the collaboration of supplemental structured data through the use of user-defined forms. Can you provide an example of what is your definition of a user-defined form?
Sure. So in producing our financial reports, the of course, the primary data source is the general ledger from our financial systems. The current solution in place today does allow for effectively supplemental entries. We call them manual entries sometimes. So depending on different reasons, you know, we may not be able to source that data back from the original system. So think of it as supplemental journals or adjusting entries. So a form to enter a manual entry, an adjusting entry that would impact the financial statement. Again, we try to do as much of that as we can in the system of record, the financial system, but particularly with our integrations with multiple members of the A&M system, that we still see that as being a necessary requirement.
Thank you. I do have a follow-up to that question, but I don't. Just let me know if I should, someone else wants to speak. In section 365, does the process of eliminating and reclassification have to go through a pre-approval before it is processed by the system? One of the things you talked about is the ability to have some form of template to go ahead and do eliminating entries or journal entries where we are able to capture the debit and the credit. The question is, do those proposed entries or eliminating entries need to go through an approval process before they are processed by the system?
I think it's somewhat to be determined, but I would think likely yes. They certainly would want to be reviewed and understand the impact of them. So I would say most likely yes. You know, does that require sophisticated workflow? But some sort of review and approval would be expected.
Thank you. On page 9, it talks that the current module is difficult to support technically. Can you please explain if this means maintenance, modifications, or a connection to existing other softwares?
The difficulty to support is that the current solution is custom written. It is mainframe based. It is effectively a report definition tool. So imagine writing your own report definition tool. That is what we're using today. And so to bring new data elements into that report definition language is something I don't believe we've ever done since it's been implemented. So it's just all sort of tied up in the legacy approach with that tool. So I don't think it's that so much that the data is unavailable, but just the limitations of that particular tool.
Mark, this is Tracy. If I could just add to that, I was going to say that the reports that we're talking about, another, just to add on to that, is just complicated in that they aren't dynamic in any way. Really, it's each report kind of stands alone, and it's a very manual process to keep them updated. So it's just not real conducive to when we have changes. So that's part of our challenge.
This is Abhi. In continuation to what Annabelle has asked questions, just want to know about the consolidation. You did mention there are three different chart of accounts, which is FMIS, Aleutian College, and N4. Can you just talk about a little bit, what are the expectations? What are the current challenges you are facing from a consolidation? And what are you looking for to streamline this process?
Tracy, feel free to jump in. We're happy to take your input on this one. But I will say the data we get from the other systems for consolidation is loaded into our legacy system. And so that just is more complicated than we would like it. And it's constrained by the integrations to that legacy system. So most likely we would see those two system members running the other financial systems, the Aleutian and Masterpiece, perhaps would integrate directly into the new platform, and then again opening up greater flexibility and capacity, just more modern tools, more modern approach. Trace, anything to add on that?
Just to maybe speak to kind of when we talked earlier about manual entries, I mean, these are two that kind of make adjustments. And so they have their data in their own system and we pull in those data files, and then we are having to do some more manual adjustments to get it to fit within our reporting model. So, yeah, just bringing in the data.
Thanks. And this is Abhi again. So how many source financial systems are we talking about? Are we talking about three or more than three, or and when you talked about those systems?
It's three. It is the one used by most members of the ANM system called FAMIS. And then it is the other two. And to elaborate a bit more, the other two integrate today through FAMIS, and that provides a lot of functionality, but there's some things that don't, you know, so we're constrained by that API, so to speak, and perhaps that would be bypassed in the future.
Mark, do you see any of these so system members going to a common ERP at any time in the future or during this project?
Certainly not this project. It is possible. It's not in scope for this project, and unlikely in scope before this project completes. It is possible that the system members running Aleutian Colleague and Masterpiece FMS may join the main financial system, but that project's effectively in parallel.
Okay. And then related to that, in 368, it talks about a centralized general ledger import and, you know, enclosed management. Do each one of these system members, would you expect them to have their own data process to create their local statutory reports that was mentioned later in the document? Or do you see your IT group managing all of that as far as the data integration? Do you have the support of the various system members?
So what we would just see the three integrations from the three different systems. So everyone that's on the common system FAMIS would come in through a single integration. Mm-hmm. The other two, that's to be determined, you know, again, whether that can come directly to the platform or whether it comes in by way of FAMIS. But certainly the system not only does, I mean, what we have in place today is not only consolidated financial reporting, it is their own individual financial reports. So all of the members, including those on Masterpiece and Aleutian, use the current system today to publish their own financial statements, and we would continue to expect that to be the case, as well as each member that's on FAMIS.
Got it. Thanks, Mark.
Hi, this is Annabelle. I have a question regarding page 18. I'll try to scroll down. With regards to the accessibility, I think it's 4.9.
Yes.
Would you please talk a little bit about the requirements Texas A&M has and the concerns that you may have regarding the proposed solution meeting the requirements?
So what we're asking for is, as part of the submission is your VPAT for the product or the tool that you're proposing. So that has become, you know, pretty standard, and hopefully you know what that is or have been asked for that before. Overall, we're governed by Texas Administrative Code to have compliance with certain accessibility rules and such. So the VPAT tells us essentially how close you are to full compliance, and we want to understand, you know, your status in that, and then understand, you know, how you may, if we want to go forward with you, what's your proposal for closing the gaps, if any.
Great, thank you, Mark. And my last question is overall workflow approval process. Would it be based on location, department, program, or is it based on individuals? Meaning during the budgeting process, does it go from person to person, or does it go from department to department?
I think we're looking for, and again, Tracy, feel free to jump in, but I think right now we're focused on each system member has, you know, one or two points of contact that work on this within there. And I think the approval and workflow we're looking for is at that consolidation level. So them to say, you know, we feel we're done, it's ready for review, and kind of, you know, getting that sort of work done. But and then, you know, getting the elimination entries coordinated, perhaps there's some workflow that can be done there. Not really looking for, if this, particularly in phase one and even in phase two, not looking for anything that really extends beyond our 22 members, not looking at really the department or college level. But Tracy, I see you unmuted, please jump in.
Yeah, I was just gonna second and agree with what you're saying. It would be at that level to try and coordinate that and get that approval level. And like when we're doing elimination entries on pass-throughs or inter-system transfers, all these steps that we do at the end of the year, just having a flow for that process or their approval at certain steps, it would be at that member level.
I will just say that most of our workflow today is, you know, classic email and spreadsheets and things of that nature. So, you know, where we can automate that is, you know, with workflow within the software is, you know, big step forward for us. But I don't think we're looking for anything vastly sophisticated there.
Right. That's very true. We still have manual processes and mail, email, Excel spreadsheets back and forth to collect some of the data and things like that.
Yeah, this is Abhi once again. I have a question on the second phase here. In section 3.6.11, you mentioned about replacing a project to upgrade and replace. So I was trying to understand, what do you mean by upgrade when I would expect that it will be a new system completely replacing the existing one, then why upgrade? And then second question in continuation to that is, you talked about forecasting here. Can you just throw a little bit of light on what their expectations are, revenue and expense planning and drivers, all these things? If you can just a little bit explain on that, what the kind of expectations are.
So in 3.6.11, the word upgrade is probably, we don't necessarily mean upgrade the software, the existing software. We just mean improve the solution, right? Improve and replace might be a better choice of words. So again, that, so not looking to upgrade it as it exists today. But, you know, again, it is, you know, if that's what's proposed to keep on the same software we have, that could be the go forward, you know, it could be replaced through an upgrade to a newer version. So it, but we're not looking to keep both in any way. And then as far as financial forecasting, let me take a quick shot at it, and I don't know if I'm going to answer your question, but again, we're looking for the tool today does do forecasting. It does create, you know, a lot of measures and metrics and such. But the models need to be more sophisticated, particularly for revenue projections. And so that's one of the major improvements we're looking for, particularly with, you know, complex tuition formula funding that happens within the state of Texas. So that's just an example of where, you know, it's we need to not just upgrade to new technology, but bring in new models and such. So overall, you know, we've spent, you know, our focus is on phase one, and there'll be a lot of work on more detail requirements for phase two before we would jump into that. But we wanted to give everyone a sense of where we were heading and what we needed. Did that answer the question sufficiently?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, okay. Thank you. It did. So just as a follow-up question, for this phase, for second phase, we are not providing the estimations and details like that. We are mostly assuming that it's just the solutioning and designing discussions that are happening, primarily focused on phase one. Is that right?
Yes, we should probably write this up. But what we're really looking for is the proposal to complete phase one. But what we need to understand is, does the platform have capabilities to support phase two requirements? But the services for phase two, we would expect that to come as a secondary, you know, work order. So certainly you can put together, you know, a high level proposal, but we would not be executing on that for services until the completion or phase one is well in hand. But we do need to understand the capabilities of the proposed platform.
Yeah, thanks for clarification. I'm assuming that means we are not including the costing, the resource plan and all that stuff. But yeah, we do provide you the down the line game plan, what we think and how we can leverage phase two, but not really putting all the plans. Is it accurate to say that?
I think so, but you know, perhaps we should answer that with something written. Lal, I'd like to talk through that, but it's probably not something we thought about as well as we should have on that one. But but that's what I had in mind, and as we put this together, that you know, phase two is out there. We want to know, again, the platform can support it, but we wouldn't be looking for detail, you know, cost proposals, services proposals for phase two right now. But I will probably give final answer for that in writing. Do you think that's right, Lala, just to get that? I think we should get that in writing.
Yes, I would think the only thing we'd really want pricing would be if there's a second piece of the software that's being proposed that might have an additional cost. So we'd want to know if there was going to be an additional cost for that, but probably not anything along the lines of implementation. So I agree. Let's write this up and have some conversations about it before we decide.
That's helpful. Thank you.
One quick question. Will that be released before the questions are due on the 17th?
Jeff, can we get an amendment out, or do you want to just put that in? I'm not sure we can get one out that quick.
I can send one out anytime you have one ready. So as soon as you get the information ready, I'll put it out.
Okay. I mean, I think it's just because it's it definitely affects what they have to put together. We should probably try to get that out. So maybe we can get that out on, I'm looking at my calendar here. Maybe we can get that out on Monday. I think we just need to write up kind of what was just confirmed that what was said here is what we want to do. So we'll try to get one out Monday or Tuesday. We'll say that.
And this is Ingrid Schwartz, if I may ask a question. This is related to narratives. In your reporting requirements, do you have a lot of narratives to be included, or are you thinking more about the numbers?
I'm sorry, I didn't follow the question.
So in your reporting requirements, do you have a lot of narratives where you need multiple people to be editing narratives and justifications at the same time?
I'll jump in on that one, Mark. Narratives, we do have items in our note disclosure and our flux analysis. So we do have some things that, like for the note disclosure, we collect data from the individual members, but we compile it locally. So probably, I think if you were asking if there would be a need for multiple people, maybe like in the same file adding narratives, I don't know that we'll have that. We do so much of that centrally.
Okay.
And I do think today we don't, the software today doesn't provide narratives folded in to the reports. That certainly is a nice to have and something we hope that the software is able to blend that in, but we have not looked at that in great depth.
Thank you.
Mark, this is Abhi once again from AST. If nobody has a question, I have a quick question. You did talk about your financial cycle starting from, is that August to July? Is that right? And when are you expecting phase one, two? I know you did mention that you're still in the process and not really sure at this point when phase one can go live, but do you have some kind of tentative plan or some expectation? That'll really help us, actually.
Sure. So the financial period, it runs from September 1st to August 31st. So that is the state of Texas fiscal year, and we follow that. So we were going to be reporting fiscal year 21 this coming fall. So we have other projects going on, so we don't feel like we can take this in with a goal of this fall. So I think we'd like to have it in place for fiscal year 22 close, and potentially some quarterly work done, but I think in general we see a little bit of preliminary work happening this summer and fall, maybe a little more on the technical side, and then when our when we complete the process this year and we have some other initiatives going on, that our accounting teams would be able to turn more full attention to this after the close of fiscal year 2021. So full attention from them in November, December, with an implementation the following end of fiscal year, with perhaps some prototyping and some things happening sooner.
Thank you.
So I will just say we understand there's going to be some discussion and negotiation on the timeline and services and such, but you can be informed by some of those constraints. But that's certainly things we know we're going to have to work through at after a finalist is selected and we get into the actual statement of work. So it seems we're perhaps at the end. We'll give, we've been watching the chat too. So I'll give everybody another few seconds and then we'll, Jeff, do you have any final thoughts for us? Why don't you actually go ahead and then we'll see if there's any final questions after you're done.
No, I don't really have anything else, Mark, other than just to remind people if they have questions to, again, submit those to the SO procurement email address that's listed in there. And I'll respond back right away, just acknowledging that I got your questions. And we will put those together as quickly as we can to get the responses out to everyone as soon as possible. And again, as a reminder, we post all of that on our ESBD link that you should all hopefully have.
And last question, will the recording of this pre-read conference will be available for us or is it only for internal purposes?
Yes, I'll make that available on my website. I don't think I can put an audio file on the ESBD, but I put that on my website. And so I'll send a link out in the addendum to where that can be found.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll just say we appreciate everyone's participation today. We look forward to your proposals, those that decide to move forward. And, overall, solving this problem and helping the A&M system move forward in this area. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.